Happy Sabbath, everybody. I'll be able to look at you before I put these things on, so. Warm enough for you? Yeah? Winter's coming. At least it'll get down to 70 or 80 winter time, so a good thing in Florida, right? So the title of my sermon this afternoon is "It Shall Come to Pass." It shall come to pass. I appreciate Mr. Sisson's sermonette. It's a good segue into my message. When you hear me talk about a title, "It Shall Come to Pass," what does that bring to your memories, your thoughts from God's Word? What really jumps out at you at the very first when you hear that phrase, "It shall come to pass"? Exactly, is one thing. So maybe during this message you'll hear other points that you go, "Oh yeah, that's right," or "This is what I was thinking over here, but I'm also thinking about this," because I said the first thing that jumped into your mind. There are many things that God has opened to our understanding of what will come to pass in His Word. Because there are many prophetic verses within God's Word that uses this exact phrase to describe some future event within God's timeline. God's timeline. There are many other examples of things to occur in the future that may not use this specific exact phrase, but it is implied just the same. Because God's Word is true. God's Word is sure. God cannot lie. Let's break down this phrase, "It shall come to pass." It is used to represent or refer to something that God is referring to. "Shall" is a traditional rule of usage, says that future time is indicated by "shall." "Shall" also occurs in the language of laws and directives. Some actually use the word "will" for future references and to express determination, such as, "It will come to pass." So the word "come" is to take place, is to happen, is to occur, is to arrive or appear as a result. There are results ahead of us that God has already spoken about in His Word that we need to stay in tune to as we study His words. And pass, not a football pass, not a hall pass, but what God has said will come to pass, to take place, to happen, to occur. And God willing, we will all hold to His Word. We will all hold to that promise. And we will be there together to see "It shall come to pass." Are you part of mankind who wants to know and understand the future? Or do you think mankind has already figured it out with all their sci-fi movies, their books, and so forth? Anything other than this is not a sure thing. This is a sure thing. This is God's Word. There is really only one reliable source for that information, and that's the Bible. God reveals His Word to those He is calling. Only in the Bible, only in God's Word, we see the factual story. Factual story of a God so powerful, do you sometimes find yourself downgrading God's power of not really fully immersing yourself in just how powerful the Almighty God is, not only in the Bible, but in your life? The things that you're going through, are you drawing on that power from God? Because it's there. He is there for you. God is so powerful that He not only can foretell the future, but also has the power to bring to pass what He has foretold. In the pages of our Bibles, God provides plenty of evidence that He can and will do exactly what He says. And He has already proven from our history of what He said and what has come to pass at that juncture in His timeline. Foretelling and directing the rise and fall of nations, the rise and fall of rulers and empires. God tells us in one of these prophetic books, if you'd like to join me in Isaiah chapter 46, Isaiah 46 verses 9 through 11. Isaiah 46 verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasures. Verse 11, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country, indeed I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Those factual words are there for us to build upon, to see how powerful our loving Creator God is, to see how He wants us to be a very part of what He has called us to. In Isaiah 14, staying in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 14, verses 24 through 27. God also says in verse 14, or Isaiah 14, verse 24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, as we said earlier, the nations that he has prophesied about. Here we're talking about Assyria. Verse 25, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? This applies to this world today that we're living in, of God's powerful mercy and love to those that He's calling, showing us what's coming, what's come to pass. In revealing what God has planned, the Bible is also a message of great hope. Great hope. Hope far greater than anything promised by human leaders and would-be saviors. Just as Mr. Sisson brought up in his sermonette, those that will mislead you, misguide you, they're nothing except Satan's instruments. But we know, we realize in God's plan, God's master plan, all of mankind will eventually have that opportunity. Those that may have messed up in the past will see where they had went wrong, where they did wrong, and what the truth is that God has for them. And again, if we stay the course, we will be there being part of the ones teaching them at that time in God's timeline. And Hebrews 11 defines God's faithful servants down through the ages as those who died believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. We see that distance as well. We see what's there through God's word. In Hebrews 11, verse 16. Hebrews 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11, verse 13. We read, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, just as we today. Spiritually, pilgrims and strangers on this earth that God has created for mankind. These spiritual pilgrims never settled, nor should we settle for the surroundings of this wayward age, this age of Satan. But we, just like them, that's brought out in Hebrews 11, we are looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, our God. It's the same God, for he has prepared a city for us all that he is calling his people." Hebrews 11, verse 16. "But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Put your name in these verses. God is speaking to each and every one of us. I hope today that you can see that this is not just a message for the elderly or the middle-aged, but for everyone in here, no matter what your age, no matter what your understanding, no matter where you are in your life at this time, God's words apply to each and every one of us sitting here today or standing. It applies to us all. We find this desire of God presented in the opening magnified snapshot of eternity revealed in the words of the Apostle John. If you would turn to Revelation 21, let's read verses 1 through 3. Revelation 21, starting in verse 1. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Here is the better place. Those listed in Hebrews 11, and those of us today that are listening to this message, that we're longing for coming down from heaven with God, our Father. Here is the heavenly homeland. Yes, our new home. Our new home. Here is the heavenly city coming down to the earth. You know, not only can we read about this epic event. What was the title? It Shall Come to Pass. That's ahead of us on God's timeline. It shall come to pass. An epic event. It's for encouragement and comfort for us now. But one day we will personally, can you feel that in your own heart, your mind, your very soul, that we will personally witness this? This scripture, these words of God about eternity on display for us in his written word, in our hearts and our minds, that they will come into full focus as a climatic reality, a reality of what Jesus told us to pray for. You don't need to turn here, but in Matthew 6:10, talking about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we pray that? Your kingdom come. Because it shall come to pass. It's going to happen. You know, John captured the personal essence of entering eternity. John. I really want to meet this man, John. The personal essence of entering eternity in one of his epistles. In 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We read, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us." Us. "That we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will be in the family of God as the immortal children of God, which is the culmination of God's stated purpose for humanity and God's gift of immortality will allow us to share in his qualities. As John pointed in stating that we shall be like him. You know, God is going to allow those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus, as you would read in Revelations 14:12. That's where I got that verse from, Revelations 14:12. It reads, "Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And by doing that, to go through a miraculous transformation where there will no longer be aches and pains and worries and sorrows. What a wonderful time that's coming ahead of us. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53, Paul wrote, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And who else but God and his Son, Jesus Christ, sitting there at his right hand? They are able to make this come to pass. But we have to do what we're instructed to do, to be there for that. In 2 Peter, verse 1, or excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. The Apostle Peter even said that we are to be what? By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. And these promises have come from our Father. They're sure. They're factual. That through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are created from dust. All you're looking at up here is a very essence of dust. I like those looks my wife gives me when I say statements like this. Like, you know, they're really a good keepsake. Kodak moment. We are created from dust, and we're given initial birth in time and space by God, but with the most exciting future ahead of us. What a privilege it is to be part of the family and household of God. What a blessing that will be. In the Father's and Christ's love and grace towards all of us, they will open up eternity and allow us to enter. Eternity. Can you fathom that word and what it truly means from God's perspective? Eternity will become home. We will abide in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus declares to his followers through the ages, and will continue through the age to come ahead of us, that I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. You can make reference to Revelation 3, verse 12. But again, that is to he who overcomes this age, this world, Satan and his deceitfulness, and what the world is pushing and shoving in our faces each and every day. On the last night of Christ's human life, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you," speaking to his disciples, speaking to us. He went to prepare a place for his people. In John 14, verse 2, I'll read that to you. John 14, verse 2. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And this is where we receive the words, I go to prepare a place for you. Again, put your name there in place of you. He's talking to us all. And when we were speaking about making a pillar in the temple of my God, we see the fulfillment of Christ's promise. With God and his redeemed people at last together forever in unending joy and blessings. If you're like me, you're very curious about the future and what's in store for us personally. We have been talking about that all along. These words are describing things that shall come to pass for us. Because our loving Creator doesn't want his people to be in the dark and worried in fear of the unknown. He inspired the Bible to be a guidebook and map for our life's journey. The very blessing of you being born and raised and being called by God to understand his words. That journey continues. Bible prophecy does indeed satisfy much of our curiosity about the future. But God has greater purposes for it than just what we may think it is. We may be scratching the surface on a lot of God's words. But he is opening these truths to us. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 2. I'm having a problem with these numbers, aren't I? And I'm an accountant, really? You wouldn't want me doing your taxes, would you? 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. I apologize for the mistakes here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Bible prophecies, as we know, come from God. They're factual. Some prophecies apply to nations, as we read about earlier, the Assyrians, as an example. Some to individuals. It applies to each and every one of us as an individual, as a very part of God's family. And sometimes to both. Many prophecies are conditional, especially those that apply to individuals, to us. Now, a lot of people mistakenly assume that the prophets were only predicting. No. They had a dual role. God sent them to predict or foretell the future and to preach. As an example, Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. You know the story of Jonah. Jonah 3, starting in verse 2. Jonah was told to arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. Verse 4, And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And we know that they changed based on that preaching. How do you think this nation of ours would respond to a message like that? Number one, they wouldn't broadcast it on any of the news. They would cover it up. Number two, if it happened to get broadcast, it would be laughed at. I mean, a nation that's turning its back on God, or has turned its back on God and continues to turn their back on God, it's not long before that nation falls. And we can see that coming in our nation. God's prophets, they preach that people should repent of their sins and turn to God, to warn the wicked from his wicked way and to save his life. Ezekiel did that. In Ezekiel 3, verse 18. He was given a warning in Ezekiel 3, verse 18. "When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,'" when God wants that preached to the wicked, "and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but the blood of that wicked one I will require at your hand, Ezekiel." You have to do what I send you to do. Preach to the people. What do you think about Mr. Shabee's warnings that he sends out to the nation, to those that will hear, those that will pay attention on a world view, relating it to God's word, for those to hear, to preach, hopefully for them to understand and to turn from their ways? They're being warned. They're being warned. God will bless and save all who repent of their sinful ways and turn to a life of obeying and serving him. Prophecies included both with warnings about punishment and promises of rewards. God is a loving God. In Deuteronomy 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy 11, verses 26 through 28. "Behold," we've heard that word a lot today, behold. Well, we better behold, because it will come to pass, these words of God. "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today." See how this applies to all age ranges throughout this country, this world? "So the blessing is if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today, to go after other gods which you have not known." The other important word there is today. Today is very important to us. Not only God's Sabbath day, but it's a day that we're here together as brethren. It's a day that we can share with one another our life stories, things that have occurred to us in the past, God's blessings today. Because God is completely fair and merciful. He holds people accountable. And we should be held accountable, because this nation of ours is not really accountable to anything that's going on now. It's just like the time of Noah. So we're to be held accountable for what we know and what they know, being willing to overlook their shortcomings in Acts 17, verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30, we read, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Again, as Mr. Shaby is bringing these programs to the nation, the times of ignorance, if they're really listening, need to be thought about seriously. Stop being ignorant. Listen and learn. And the world needs to do that. God will not finally judge anyone without first teaching and warning about the dire consequences of sin, as well as revealing the wonderful results of living God's way. In James 4, verse 17, I can just read this to you. James 4, verse 17. "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." How many people really, in today's world, think what they're doing is a sin? It's all about love. You have to have love in your heart. You just have to believe in Jesus. Or this case, or that case, whatever the example may be. There's more to God's word. There's more to God's plan of salvation that, again, people will eventually learn about. That time is ahead in God's timeline. But today, God is continuing to prepare this group called First Fruits. First Fruits to God. See how this applies to all of us and to the Lamb, Jesus Christ. The First Fruits are composed of people who resist the current culture that is saying good is evil and evil is good. The First Fruits, we defy a woke, progressive world that rejects the natural order of creation, of God's very creation, God's very words. We value God and obey the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To truly be resisting the ways of this world and embracing the laws in the way of the world to come that God wants us to be a very part of, the kingdom of God. That we're being prepared to inherit, again, that kingdom that will not be left to others, whom God is calling. Again, the Bible calls those in this group, us, as part of that group, first fruits. It's a very productive yield, beginning a spiritual harvest among humanity. In James chapter 1, verse 18. James 1, verse 18. "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation." In Luke 24, verses 44 and 45. Luke 24, verses 44 and 45. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you." Here we see Jesus speaking. "That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Those things that were written in those books, they came to pass, showing Christ. Verse 45, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." As we pray today, that God opens our mind and his scriptures to us to learn more deeply from a spiritual plane what he wants us to do in his love. The focus of Bible prophecy is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. The Bible has many prophecies of his first appearance to become our Savior and his second coming as glorified King of Kings. Came to pass, and it will come to pass as King of Kings. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 15, I will read that to you. You don't have to turn there. 1 Timothy 6, verse 15, "Which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Again, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Bible prophecy is accurate, it's reliable, it's God's word. It gives us a foundational worldview and framework by which we can analyze the news. Just as we've been talking about with Mr. Shavies, a biblical worldview. We are able to sort out what has long-range significance from the flood of news that does not. A lot of the news we receive today is either false news, half-truths, half-news, not the complete story, whatever it may be about. Today's world is not reliable because of Satan and his airways and all that he is spreading out there. But Bible prophecy, God's word, is accurate and reliable. The focus of Bible prophecy, as I've said, is Jesus Christ. Jesus himself plainly tells us that we cannot know in advance exactly when prophesied events will take place. And for any of us who's trying to predict exactly when a prophetic event will happen, we can tell you right now, it's not a very productive way for use of your time. God has already instructed us that we do not know that on our own. Only God knows that. We're to focus more on what and why more than when. Because we're living in this dangerous and unpredictable world. So we need to stay focused on God's word, on being spiritually ready to meet our Maker. Because we don't know when our last moment is going to be. We don't. Matthew 24, verse 44. Matthew 24, verse 44. "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, we read Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, not one or two are the ones I want to obey, but all of his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Also in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. Verse 1, we read, now it shall come to pass. In verse 15, it says, but, very small word, very important, but, it shall come to pass if you do not obey. Very straightforward. If you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. One of the messages Mr. Shavey just recently said were the commandments nailed to the cross. Were people listening? He was very clear. What happens to nations and to each of us personally depends on whether we choose to obey or disobey God. I mean, it's pretty simple, pretty cut and dry. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. God said, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. Reminds me of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That creation is a witness against us today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose which one? Life. God tells us, choose life. Don't go against God. Choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. You know, it's a matter of cause and effect. Our life is, this world is, cause and effect. Because God is letting us choose what we sow in this life. But remember, we will reap what we sow. You read that in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. We never want to mock God our Father. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We know that the world will be thrown into a massive upheaval in the future. God's word shows us that. In Luke 21, verses 25 27 through 27. Luke 21, verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. God, bring that day soon. We are given warnings by Christ to watch, to pray, and to not be caught unaware of the coming events, to not be unable to face them with courage and determination. We have to be encouraged, be strong and determined, because at Christ's return, he will cause the end time storm of destruction to cease, just as he did when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee, the waves and the winds, how Christ caused them to cease. Here we're talking a worldwide event. He will cause that end time storm of destruction to cease, and he will bring great calm to the earth, and we will be there with him to witness that. A time of peace brought by his rule on the earth in the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ and God the Father have committed to a purpose to bring together the diversity of peoples and cultures into one family, into his family. They are building the family of God. We are a very part of that. And when Christ tells us to watch and pray, we better do what we're told. He's a loving God, and we have a loving brother and Lord and Savior. He is saying he will give understanding that will bring peace of mind and calm, determined strength. And we don't have to worry excessively about what's going on in the world, the events beyond our control. We have no control on what's going on out there. But let's have the control on what's going on in our life with our Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. We know who the world lays under the sway of. Satan, the great deceiver, the archenemy, the one who's blinding the minds of the people in this world. You know, thank God for his plan of salvation. God's biblical festivals, and we will be approaching trumpets in the future. They show his plan to bring many children, into his divine family. That plan, which was in place before the foundation of the world, calls for faith in Christ as the Lamb of God. Each of the festivals show an aspect of God's or Christ's work to bring eternal, let's embrace that word in our life, eternal salvation to the world. When we understand and celebrate, this is, we're celebrating God's Sabbath day today. As we celebrate these days in spirit and truth, we will see God guiding this world through the storms of trial. And there are many storm clouds out there. and difficulties to the time of calm represented by the kingdom of God on the earth after Christ's second coming. And speaking of storms, we need to pray for one another and pray for our brothers and sisters who may be in the path of these storms, such as the Hurricane Beryl, and those that will be coming this year, to keep them in mind in the Caribbean, United States, Mexico, Central America, South America, wherever our brother and sisters may be, we need to be praying for them. But those hurricanes are a minor thing compared to the worst storm ever that's coming ahead of us. But that storm, that worst storm that has ever existed, will never exist after that, because that storm will be broken when Christ returns. He will calm that monstrous storm. So we need to stay alert. We need to hold fast through the storm of this age that we're in now, our life, that we're struggling, looking to God and looking to Jesus Christ for us to come through the storm to the peace and calm God has promised us. All we have discussed today and continue to discuss, to study, to pray about, to meditate on, to fast about, is all about God's word. His factual word is truth for us. And we know that it, God's blessings, God's kingdom, it shall come to pass in His timeline. Enjoy the rest of God's Sabbath day.